Thanks for joining us tonight at Little Sandy Baptist Church on this third day of January in the year of our Lord, 2021. We disregard or we do not consider really the BC and BCE, before Common Era. I still like is the year before Christ and the year of our Lord, 2021. And so we are following Scripture. We are up to Hebrews chapter 11 once more, the first three verses, if you'll follow along as I read, and then we will pray, and then we will launch out. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. May the Lord has a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pause a moment. Dear Lord, we're thankful that we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds that tomorrow. It is You. And may we this week, may our faith be shining clearly for others to see. I pray, Lord, as we're waiting, that our behavior will be correct, that we'll be trusting and obeying. Lord, I pray that for me especially, that I would be an example to other people. Lord, help us to trust You in all the things that we have going on in our lives. I'm thankful, Lord, that You're concerned about us, and we can come boldly unto the throne of grace and find mercy there. So, Lord, help us now this evening. Help me especially. Forgive me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me, please, with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, it really is an answer to the end of chapter 23. It says in 10:23, it says for us, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. So how does this faith show forth? Well, he goes into this long chapter 11, not just words, but examples of what faith looks like in real people. What faith looks like in real people. We have these, we have the reality TV shows. This is faith in reality, how people responded. It really appeals to the Hebrew Christians to hold fast their faith and to live by the faith they're holding to. Faith is the way by which God's people, we ought to live. The scope of the whole passage really goes into the beginning of chapter 12 there. Seeing we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, the elders we talked about in chapter 11, etc. Let's hold fast, etc. Now, the pivotal point really is this idea of, but the just shall live by faith, found from Habakkuk 2:4, found three times in the New Testament. In Romans 1:17, and Galatians 3:2, and Hebrews 10:38. Now, the first of these, Romans 1:17, is faith, is the faith principle. The just shall live by faith. That's the principle by which we live. We don't live by sight. We live in many ways by faith. And our faith will one day, as Squire Parsons so eloquently wrote, our faith will become sight. I'm looking now across that river. Our faith will become sight. The second faith is Galatians 3:2, justification. Justification. For the just shall live by faith. And the third way we're going to read it is in 10:38 of Hebrews. But the just shall live by faith. So, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Similar to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. And you emphasize each word of that one verse, and you have a wealth of wonderful promises to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it is amazing. You take a simple verse, oh, it's a beautiful verse, but take that one verse and emphasize a different word each time, and you can have a whole different message series on that one verse. So the just shall live by faith, and we are to live by faith. We're not to live in anxiousness. We're not to live, Pastor Tim, under your circumstances. We are to always to live above circumstances. The water that was encompassing Peter, Christ was walking upon. And so he can help us, he can help us to live above our circumstances. So in keeping with the theme and context, the just shall live by faith, the writer of Hebrews then gives many illustrations of Old Testament heroes to show how they live by faith and the results of living by faith. I was interesting was I was trying to put, Ian and I were trying to put the gas range, hook up the gas, I've never done before. went online and saw different videos. I watched them how to hook up a gas range. And so I figured it out. And I did a couple of things I wasn't supposed to. The house hasn't blown up yet. So and we keep, do you smell gas? Well, I smell gas when I turn the oven on. Well, I think that's normal. You smell a little bit of gas when you turn the oven on. I'm hoping so. But I don't smell gas when the oven's not on. So that's a good thing. Before, we were smelling gas all the time. The first time I tried it, the second day, we had to work on that. And I got the leak fixed, etc. By the way, if you're ever hooking up a pipe with gas on it, you can take a little spray bottle and squirt on there. And it's, and you probably already know that, don't you? And it starts bubbling up if you got a leak. And so I had bubbles bubbling up the first time. I got that fixed. So, Pink says, Hebrews 11 is amplification and exemplification, big words, of Hebrews 10, 38 to 39. Before we proceed, I want to remind ourselves of what this definition of faith we've been talking about and we're going to consider over the next few weeks. Faith is not some wistful hope or premonition of something good's about to happen. Oh, I just feel like, there's a song where, I just feel like something good's about to happen. Our faith is far more than feeling, I tell you, because tomorrow morning you may not feel really like my faith is real strong, but it's far more than that. Our faith is based upon the word and the author of that word. That's where our faith is. The Muslim's going to get up this morning, and I tell you, Muslims often put Christians to shame in the way they worship their God, not the true God, but they are faithful at five times a day. They've got their mat down and they're bowing down and they're praying. Well, if Christians, we get on board with that. Not the bowing down and putting the mat down and praying toward Mecca, but the five times a day praying regularly and taking a stand in the middle of the day in your workplace, rolling out your mat and praying to the Lord. You know, I think we probably get in trouble as praying to Jehovah today, but the Islamic world pretty much can do, I imagine, for the most part, what they want to do in this era so far. The just shall live by faith. It's belief in God's word that affects our behavior. Do not talk about your faith, Butler says, if you're not obeying the word of God in your life. Faith requires an object of trust. It is not a case of sincerity of belief, but in the truth of what is believed. So important, because there's a lot of people, the Islamic world, are more sincere and work harder at and are more faithful to. How about the many of the Mormons? Aren't they not, like, give 2 years of their life? I think they still do that. 2 years of their lives, 18, 19, 20, to go out and spread their erroneous cultish beliefs. Can you imagine asking Christians today? Christian young people, well, I want you, from when you're 18, I want you to give 2 years of your life to go into missionary work. Just go out and start walking the streets. Wear an attire that everybody's going to know who you are when you come up the street. Wear a little lapel, a little sign here that says, I'm a Christian, and I want to tell you about Jesus. Can you imagine how many Christian young people would be willing to do that today? I'm with you. Not a lot. Not a lot. We are to have faith. So why should we believe the Word of God? Simply because others believe it? Mr. Womack has given me different vitamin remedies, and he believes in those. Now, I may not believe in those myself, personally, all of those. He believes in them. They probably work. It's probably my skepticism at times. Do we simply believe in something because of a herd mentality? Now, we've heard that herd thing going on now. It's called herd immunity now. And it's changed, by the way, since it first came out. If you will notice, in March of 2020, the term herd immunity has changed somewhat now regarding the vaccines. No, we believe the Bible because it is truthful. Its credentials are exemplary. It's true irrevocably. Everything it says, the veracity and reliability of God's word, I have never, ever, and never will found it in error. Now, there are some things that I don't understand about it and probably will never understand till glory. That doesn't make that they're wrong. The world thought for a long time, etc., about different scientific lines. And was it the paths of the seas in Psalm 8 or 9? And as the guy discovered, there actually are currents in the seas. And God had written about it long before, even before the world was created. And the mind of God, the Word of God existed because Jesus is the Word. The Word is Christ. If you believe anything, believe that the Word of God is true. That book we call the Bible and the 11th chapter of Hebrews is a great testimony of how men act when they believe the Word of God and what the consequences are in their believing. So first of all, number one, the persuasion from faith. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One of the consequences of faith is to produce a strong persuasion or confidence or conviction in the person of faith about divine matters. Are you persuaded that God's word is true? I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians, you're in the minority. If you believe that the Bible is sufficient for our life and action and purpose, and God's word is covers everything, and we can hold it in all truthfulness, and we don't have to start looking for something else, you're in the rare minority. If you believe it's inerrant and infallible, you're in the rare minority of church people. That is true in all things. But it is that. But the Christians, even today, many are starting to waffle. In the beginning, God created. And a lot of Christians have a problem with that. Well, and they're going, well, you know, the men have found out there's all the kind of geological ages and all these edges of the earth, and the earth is millions and billions and billions of years old, so how can we reconcile it with the Bible? We can't. You've either got to believe what God says or go what man says. It's one or the other. One or the other. Really, honestly. Faith is that which brings conviction. One of the meanings of the word evidence is conviction. The meaning conviction here is when one is convinced of something. When a sinner is convicted by his sins, he's really what? Convinced of his sins. I need to be saved. I really do. Likewise, when one is convinced about the truth, he is convinced that the truth is valid. Lack of persuasion kills conviction. The psalmist said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. The failure to speak up for truth is because one has not believed. Unbelief is a weak in conviction. If I really believed that Sierra Mist was better than Diet Mountain Dew, I would stop drinking Diet Mountain Dew and start drinking Sierra Mist. If I really believe that, I have no conviction of that whatsoever. There's no evidence I've seen in my taste buds, and so I'm not going to stop doing that to pick up something of a lot lesser. I have unbelief. I have no conviction. That's not a big deal. But it is a big deal when it comes to the Bible. Is the Bible true? I just read today one of the saddest things. You know what the number one reason for death in the world was in 2020? Abortion. Number one cause of death in the world. Abortion. 42 million? I think it was. It's no wonder. It is no wonder that we are on the track that we're on headed. The world's... Have you noticed that it's the world? It's not just America that's encompassed with the pandemic. Do you know it's a worldwide? We are now all fighting one similar thing in many regards. Is that not seeming to be a harbinger of what's coming when the Antichrist is going to be able to come on the scene? It seems so. It may not be, but lift up your heads. We all have met folks who have little conviction about anything spiritual. The problem is here, right here. They simply do not believe God's word. They lack faith, or they would have convictions about things. And I was recently published. It's called The Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. Listen to what they affirm. We affirm the Bible is God's word, breathed out by Him. It is inerrant, infallible, and the final authority for determining what is true, what we must believe, and what is right, how we must live. All truth claims and ethical standards must be tested by God's final word, which is Scripture alone. What a powerful statement in today's culture. We deny that Christian belief, character, or conduct can be dictated by any other authority, and we deny that the postmodern ideologies derived from intersectionality, radical feminism, and critical race theory are consistent with the biblical teaching. They deny that. We further deny that competency to teach on any biblical issue comes from any qualifications for spiritual people other than the clear understanding and simple communication of what is revealed in Scripture. Amen to all that. I would sign on that in a heartbeat. That's what we believe. The Bible is the final authority. And if you're going to teach on spiritual things, you must go here. It is here that we go to. There are a lot of good Christian books, but you can stack them all on one side, and they're not worth a nickel compared to this, honestly. Truthfully, I'm reading a good book. It's not even written by a Christian, called Live But Not By Lies. But even all Christian books, this is God's book. It's the only one like it. Ever will be like it. So if you believe the Word of God, which is what faith is, you will have some convictions about right and wrong. You will not be governed by the culture of society, but by the commands of Scripture when it comes to convictions. We are not to live by lies. We are to live by the truths of God's word. In love, yes, You may be wanting to, in our knowledge, shoot down everything with an angry mindset, but let's not do that. We are to live, though, steadfast and sure upon what the Bible says. So what is the cause of persuasion? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word translated faith means is a foundation. Literally means, in Latin, it means sub and stance, to stand under, the substance, standing under. The root of the word really was a legal term, stood for the whole body of documents bearing on the ownership of a person's property, deposited in archives, and forming the evidence of ownership. For example, if you purchase a house at some point in time, there are some documents you must have to prove that you are the owner of that house. And I remember my wife and I bought our house over in Hebron, first time we ever bought a home together, and ever bought a home, period. And it was like I signed my life away. I could not imagine how many times they had to sign our names. They even had us put us up in the big room with the bank and had the big boardroom table there, and she was on one side and we're on the other. Keep passing the sign away, sign, sign, keep passing. That's what it means here, the substance. It means the verify, the title. The faith is the title deed for things hoped for. Our faith is a title deed. By faith, I believe I'm going to be with God for eternity, with those who also know Christ as Savior. I will see my dad, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and those who've gone on before. I'll see Mr. and Mrs. Holbrook. I will see them again. I'll see Mr. Bates. I'll see him again. I'll see Vera again. We'll see all of them again. Again. That's faith. It's the title deed of what we're planning on. The whole burden of 11, says Bollinger, is the patience of those who endured by faith, not having received the promises, and of those who, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. The good report there really is the word from martureo, which is that word we get it all the way back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, witness. It's five times here in 11. They obtained a good witness. A good witness. So there is the cause of persuasion. There's the confirmation, also the persuasion, the evidence of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this actually is the actual proof or confirmation, the confidence. The second word here is evidence. God's word is the best evidence. So believing God's word provides our heart evidence and confirmation. Simeon says, but evidence is meant such proof as silences all objection. By evidence. Such proof that silences all objection. I had before me I got a pair of glasses up here in the pulpit. Where? There they are! You can't refute it because they're right here and they're on the pulpit. That's what this is. The evidence of things not seen. That's what our faith is. It lays aside, silences all objections. Ironside says, faith in what God has declared gives the soul absolute assurance and firm confidence in the reality of things which the natural eye has never seen. Have you been to heaven? Now, a lot of people have written books about that, but really, now think with me now, and I'm not trying to shoot down people's lot, but really, if you've gone truly to heaven, you're not coming back, except for Lazarus, and maybe it was someone else, maybe he raised a few, the others that were raised from the dead. But people have not gone to heaven and spent time there and then come really absent from the body, present with the Lord, as appointed unto men once to die. If you're truly dead, then why aren't people coming back from hell? If you truly can come back from the dead and spend some time there and come back, why do we never hear about near-death experiences in hell? I hardly ever hear that. It's always about, oh, I saw a light somewhere, and I saw my great-grandma or my grandma came running to me. I looked up there, and I saw this being, not sure what it was. I tell you, we're going to know the throne of God if you truly know God. Now, again, the mind can play really severe things, and there are some occultic things that happen, out-of-body experiences. We understand. Paul had an out-of-body experience, okay? But for to someone to go and be in heaven for a while and to come back really goes against truly, and lots of times, if you'll follow their stories, they don't really agree with what the Bible says heaven is. And I know there have been books written by that, about that. So we find that faith in what God declares gives us absolute assurance. So the persuasion from faith. How about the praise from faith in verse 2? For by it the elders obtained a good report. The persons of the praise. The elders, I believe the elders are those mentioned in chapter 11. Those he's going to talk about here for the next several weeks. Those we find, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and David and Samson and all these other ones and Moses, etc. and Sarah. All these ones, the elders there, living by faith. The heroes of the faith, the good report there is the commendation of the life. Again, Pink says, the pious progenitors were justified by faith. And to the end of the chapter, he, the writer of Hebrews, shows that faith was the principle of all their holy obedience, eminent services, and patient suffering in the cause of God. Daniel, what a man of faith. The three Hebrew children, they had faith that they were either going to go, they're going in. And they might come out, they might not. But if they don't come out, fine and dandy. Can you imagine us when they hold a pistol to our head and say, either deny the Christ or we're going to end your life? What are we going to say? I will trust the Lord at all times. His praise may happen here in America before. I mean, we just didn't say it. It may happen. Hope not. But a man of faith they were. Throw us into the fiery furnace. If the Lord wants to save us, we'll be saved. If not, so be it. For Paul said it was far better to be with Christ. But better for you all to stay here. So rather than speak of faith in abstract terms, the writer of Hebrews, instead of going on for a long, lengthy definition of what faith is, here's what it looks like. Instead of giving you a 5-page manual of how to install your gas range, I'm going to give you a 10-minute video. Just watch and listen and learn. There we go. Instead of giving you a 5-page definition of what faith is, I'm going to show you what it looks like. Here's what people do who have faith. The elders. What a great encouragement it is to us to see the examples and different lifestyles. Abel the shepherd, Abraham the foreigner, Sarah the barren for years, Joshua the soldier, Rahab the harlot, Gideon the least of his family, David the king, parents of Moses from an obscure family burdened by slavery in Egypt. In summary, any of us can walk by faith. Any of us. From the White House to the log house, in case you live in a log house, to the looks like a barn house, our house, with cement blocks. We all can walk by faith. So the person for the praise, how about the praiser? They have obtained a good report. Again, the word there is martureo, which means to witness or testify. They had received a good, the translators added the word good, that implied strongly in the text, is a good report. And who is the praiser? It is God. It is not social media. It was not like the people of Face Scroll and Insta Papyri got on there and said, listen, these people have been great. What does the Bible say? What did the people think about these Hall of Fame? Were they put on a pedestal? Are there like a head bust of all this? Can we go somewhere to some Bible museum and see? Oh, we can go to the Creation Museum, by the way, and that's a wonderful place. If you've never been there, you need to go there. And the Ark, by the way, I'm just a little plug there. But is there somewhere that all the people in Hebrews chapter 11 are set on some kind of spirit? No, I tell you not. Look what they say. Look what it says about them in 35. Tortured, trial of cruel mocking, scourging, bonds, imprisonment, stones, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered, afflicted, and tormented. I tell you, society did not like these guys. So the good report was not from the social media. The good report was the witness they had done, and God is the one who obtained a good report from God. That's it. Certainly not the world. There's a group called Open Democracy. I told you this thing last week, who are targeting Christian groups on Amazon because it does not want them to be able to people to give money to them, donate to them. It says groups who believe and hold to traditional biblical beliefs about sexuality. Any group that holds to that, you need to jettison them off your webpage, Amazon. Amazon probably will before too long. These people are more likely to get ridicule, not good reports. In the last few weeks, Hungary's been in the line of fire due to the stance they took up, because Hungary simply said a mother has to be a woman and a father has to be a man. And they have been under fire by the cultural and the thought police and this Do you understand when I say live not by lies, what I mean? Our culture is so much turned to dishonesty that people are starting to believe they can be something other than that God created them to be. By the way, that's rebellion. When you are doing something and trying to change something that God designed you to be, you are in rebellion against Almighty God. So when you change your gender or you change to some other, when you become all these other things, that's not what God intended. God made you. And he's the one that decided whether you should be a girl or a boy. And that's the only two options, by the way. A man may wear a dress, and he may have some kind of surgical procedures, and he may have his body changed. I tell you, he's simply a man wearing a dress. A woman may change her physical appearance and wear short and have shortened her hair and build her muscle on it, but she's still a woman in man's clothes. And I know that's, I'm probably going to get so much trouble in the coming months if I say that again. But the truth is the truth. Live not by lies. What is the truth? There's boys and there are girls and there's not 52 different genders. Now, I will go back, and I'm hasten to say there are people who really need spiritual help. There are people who need spiritual help. But you see, the insidiousness of this is they're going to start canceling to where I cannot counsel somebody to come out of or not go into some kind of aberrant lifestyle, or that's going to be against the law. Pretty soon, here, it's already in Canada. It's already in Canada. There'll be a law here in America. Live not by lies. In love, share the truth. John Owen says, they who have a good testimony for God shall never want for reproaches from the world. These people who obtained a good report, it was not the local police department or whatever department it was, or so they didn't have the social media, thank goodness, that we have today. They did not have it back then. It was God. And the principle is, still over back over here in verse 2 again, for the elders obtained a good report. How was it? It's by faith. The principle for praise is their faith. Again, once more, Pink says, it was not by their amiability, their sincerity, their earnestness, or even other natural virtue, but by faith that the ancient elders obtained a good report. Let us also value a Christian not for his intellect, natural charms, or social position, but for his faith evidenced by an obedient walk and godly life. Amen to that. Amen to that. Persuasion from faith, praise from faith, and perception finally from faith. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Faith gives us a perceptive mind. And here the writer of Hebrews cites one area in which faith gives us a perceptive mind, namely the area of creation. Faith helps us to understand and perceive. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I believe that by faith. I wasn't there. I don't want to steal Ken Ham's thunder. Were you there? I don't know if he even used that anymore. But we weren't there. There's but one accurate, truthful, from the beginning of creation. By the way, there is nothing as prehistoric. That's a misnomer. That's not an accurate term. I have the history from the very beginning of the world. Amen. There's nothing prehistoric. We've got the history. Do you see how much we've been so indoctrinated to believe and disbelieve the Bible and believe the erroneous evolutionary fairy tales? The monkey mythology, as the late Adrian Rogers would call it, monkey mythology. Faith helps us to perceive the origin of life. How did things happen? Well, God started it, Adam and Eve, and since then, mankind has gone forward since then. Again, Ironside says, it is only unbelief and willful rejection of the testimony of God that makes men stumble at and pervert so wondrous an unfolding of the beginning of the created heavens and earth. I was reading the devotional Days of Praise and back in December of last year, 2020. John Morris regarding creation is called Fringe Issues. Is creationism a fringe issue? He says, no. Few doctrines are so clearly taught in Scripture. It is critical to salvation. Is it critical to salvation? No. But it is essential to adequately understand the great primary doctrines, for it is foundation to them all. Furthermore, it is the subject of origins, which the enemy has identified as a major battleground, vowing to destroy Christianity over the issue. Here we must stand if we are to guard our faith. Every single major Bible doctrine, first 11 chapters of Genesis, You wonder why Satan's been so adamantly opposed to creationism? It's because we have God telling us in the first 11 chapters pretty much every single major Bible doctrine there is. Again, I'm reading from the statement on social justice in the gospel. This is number 2, Imago Dei. We affirm that God created every person equally in his own image. As divine image bearers, all people have inestimable value and dignity before God and deserve honor, respect, and protection. Everyone has been created by God and for God. We deny that God-given roles, socioeconomic status, ethnicity, religion, sex, or physical condition, or any other property of a person either negates or contributes to that individual's worth as an image bearer of God. Those 42 million children in the womb that did not make it to 2021, they are an image bearer of God, and they really should have the greatest protection of any people on earth. Amen. We have so strayed from the clarity of God's word. Would you want to live in the world as it is now for eternity? Would you want to live in your sinful condition for eternity? No. I want to get rid of this sin thing. It is so troubling. And I see myself when I get angry at myself when I don't do right. And I should do better. And I get frustrated at myself. Paul struggled with that clearly, didn't he? I think it's Romans 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I shouldn't do, I do. That's you and I, because we have the old sin nature. And the dog you feed the most is the one that wins. Amen. The dog you feed the most is the one that wins. The word translated understand in our text in verse 3 means to proceed with reflective intelligence. We says faith is the vehicle or medium of spiritual experience. Faith comprehends within its grasp the past, the present, the future. By it, faith, the Christian knows that the universe, but a few thousand years ago, had no existence and that it was created out of nothing by the Word of God. Without faith in the Word of God, a person cannot correctly perceive the origin of the universe. Do you understand that you and I as a podunk scientist have more smarts about creation than the astrophysicist who believes in evolution? It is the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. As smart as man can be, we will never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever even come close to the infinity of God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. Without faith, a person cannot really correctly understand the origin of the universe, but through faith in the Word of God, a person is enabled to apprehend things which are high above the reach of human reason. The origin of the universe presents a problem which neither science nor philosophy can solve, as is evident from the conflicting and ridiculous attempts to explain it, but that difficulty vanishes entirely by faith. I, by faith, believe that God did. And the word there, he spoke the world as the word. It doesn't mean as a person, but the word there can only mean the vocalization. So like, he actually spoke the word. It's not talking about Christ as the word, but he spoke the words. It's the word of creation. By the word of God is the word R-H-E-M-A, Rhema, in the Hebrew language. It means God spoke it. The reference is to God's imperial fiat. By the word of the Lord in Psalm 33:6, were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. God spoke into existence. I can tell my cat all day, get off the bed. Get off the bed. Get off the bed. He might one time, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Get off the bed. I'm going to stay right here. This is my bed. I'm laying right where I want to lay. But now, if God, I'm just trying, in all graciousness and all, if God said to that cat, get off the bed, I may never see that cat again. Yes. Because he has executive power. He has word power. I don't have that with nobody, anytime, anywhere. Get off the bed. No. And that's God spoke it into existence. The world wrestles with, and they come up with all these different time frames of when the world is sort of exploding. When's the last time you had an explosion in your house and things worked out good? and we're put back together. I don't know. I can tell you this. When a root gets into your sewer system over years of time, the crabapple root gets into your sewer and digs in there and starts adding more and more things in there. There's going to be some kind of explosion. Explode by sending the sewer out, another pipe out of the ground. So that's, I've never seen explosion bring about good things. Now you can cut that pipe out and put a new pipe in there and it works like a charm. Because it has some organization, it has some direction to go. But exploding things that have never worked out good for me at all, it seems. And so the word of creation, how about the work of creation? The worlds were framed. Framed there means to fit out or to equip. So a person or thing has equipped or fitted out might subserve the purpose for which it was made. Our worlds were framed by the word of God. He put things together so they work so wonderfully. While framing especially emphasizes this aspect of creation, it necessarily presupposes or involves their original creation. So by the word of God, I believe, refers to the entire creation process. God spoke it. He said it. It was done. And God did it for us. Faith perceives all of this, but unbelief is willingly ignorant. In 2 Peter, they're saying, hey, where's the promise of his coming? Everything's happened as always has been. Uniformitarianism, here goes, nothing ever changes. There was no flood, now we're continuing on. That's what uniformitarianism, to reject the God working in history. God spoke it. And finally, the wonder of creation, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. One of the great wonders of creation is they're made out of nothing. Ex nihilo, God out of nothing made everything. Can you imagine now the law of energy, conservation of energy states that energy can neither be created or destroyed. It only changes form. The total amount of energy in the universe is exactly the same before and after. A twig is burned, it turns to ash, but the same amount of energy remains. That's the law of energy. How about the law of conservation of mass? That can neither be, again, matter can neither be created or destroyed. It only changes shape or state. An ounce of water, when frozen, is an ounce of ice. An ounce of water boiled is an ounce of steam. Matter still exists. It's only changed forms. How about mathematics? 0 times 0 equals what? 0 times 600 billion years still equals 0. You cannot bring life out of nothing. But yet, our world, I would say 95% probably of the world today, just guessing now, believes that something came out of nothing and that through some great bang process that we are here today. I tell you, not so. Do you realize that our sun alone, we could fit 1 million Earths into our sun, 1 million of it into the sun, and the large giant stars could fit 7 billion suns into the star. And the guy that wrote this book, I told you about it before, the book is called Spectrums, Our Mind-Boggling Universe. David Blattner says he believes there are 10 million stars for every grain of sand on the earth. 10 million for every grain of sand on the earth. Now that should absolutely, wow, amazing. You should go to the planetarium at the Creation Museum, amazing. And yet God loves you so much that he died. May we have faith. My faith has found a resting place. Not in device or creed. It's in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of this scripture. What a marvelous book you have left us. May we be excited to read, to explore, to plummet the depths of your wonderful word. Thank you for these three verses in Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you for the hall of fame of faith. Men, ladies, who obtained a good report because not of their riches, not of their looks, because of their faith. May we be found faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please, if you would. Take a hymn book. And we are, I think it's 340, I believe. 340.